Okay, we're on Daf Mem Amar Aleph. We just said that we could sell the guy even in Eretz Yisrael, even more than the amount stipulated in the Mishnah. We saw b'chutz la'aretz, filu min ha'koni bo'aretz, even though he's selling him a stock of jugs purchased within Eretz Yisrael. I guess he's buying them in Eretz Yisrael. Where's he? He's selling them to him outside Eretz Yisrael, and he's giving him pots that say made in Israel. I'm not sure exactly what this is.
Yeah, that's what it says.
Yeah. Anyway, on the bottom it says, even though the Yid will fill the pots with wine and oil purchased within Eretz Yisrael, you don't have to be koshay that he's going to collect more than he's supposed to in Eretz Yisrael and then take it outside Eretz Yisrael. Whatever the chiddush is. Next thing, you can't sell him a plowing cow. That's Reish Shammai Shita. Beisel holds, you can sell him a plowing cow because you can slaughter the cow. Now, this is the Gemara that I mentioned yesterday. I didn't even realize that it was going to be in the Yerushalmi. Tani, let's learn, you know, a regular Halach Lamaisa Brisa. I sell you a shor, and it turns out that it's a gorer. Rav Amar Mechatos, it's a mistake. You have to return the money. Shmuel Amar Yechol Lameimar L'shchit Mechat Olach. I didn't sell it to you to keep in your backyard. I sold it to you to slaughter, so it's not a Mechatos. You didn't stipulate you want this for plowing, so therefore it's not a Mechatos. I don't have to return your money. Machlaikas Rav and Shmuel. Manan Kayomim. So what's the circumstance? In Bishop Machol Oris, if he sold it to a sharecropper, who obviously is buying the cow to plow the field, everybody's going to agree that it's a mechatos because it for sure was for plowing. In b'shem rochel atabach, he's selling it to a guy who owns a butcher shop. Obviously, it's going to be for shchita. Elakinan kayom, and what's the case? Talking about shem rochel is here, so he sells it to a third party, a middleman. So he buys oxen for resale to all types of people, sharecroppers and butchers. So we can't.
Broker.
So we don't know what he's buying it for. He might buy, he doesn't himself know who he's going to make the next sell to. So Rav Amar Mechatos is a mistake because most oxen are purchased for plowing. Rov. Shmuel Amar Yechol Hu Meimar L'Shchita Mechatev Loch. That's the rule of Ein Holchem L'Mamanach HaRov. There are Amiyot that do buy it for slaughtering, and therefore we don't go bust of the Rov. That's the famous Machlokes Rav Shmuel. Whether holchem mamamanach harov or ain't holchem mamamanach harov. That's the famous machlokes.
In an agricultural society, more cows are used for plowing than eating.
I'm running out of battery here. Just 1 second. Hold 1 second. I just need to plug in the computer. Let me put it on pause. I'm continuing on. Okay. Now, the opinion of Rav, it turns out, is the opposite of his Shita in another location. What's the other location? Again, Rav says we go bus a rov, right? So therefore, he's selling him an ox. And most people buy it for what? For plowing, and therefore it's a mechatos. But let's look at this other place. So Mechavashi tells you the Rav, Mechavashi tells you the Shmuel, they both are backwards. Let's see the case. There's another Machlokas. Mecharlo b'yovel atzmo. Let's suppose it's the Yovel year, and I come to you to buy a field from you, and you're thinking, oh, I got a good sucker here, because you buy a field from me on Yovel, you know what's going to happen? It's going to go right back to me. So you're going to throw your money right out the window. But what do I care? If you want to throw your money out your window, that's your prerogative.
It's going to
go back instantly no matter what day of the Yovel it is. There's no, it's not, by Shemitah, the rule is Ein Shemitah Meshamet Tzela B'Sofa. When it comes to a loan, the last instance of Shemitah is when it's Meshamet the loan. But that's not the case by Yovel when it comes to returning it, apparently, right? From this Gemara, we see that. So Marchala B'Yovel B'Asma, he sells his ancestral field to a buyer in the Yovel year itself. Rav Amar Kona V'yotzim Yorub Yovel. He acquired the field. Its sale takes effect momentarily, but it leaves his possession in Yovel, means immediately. Nine. Um, Yeah, the sale lasts for a fleeting moment, reversed to the seller the next instant. So Rav says, since it took effect for one moment, right? So it's good. And Shmuel says, what are you talking about? Lo kana, that's not, that's the biggest mechatos possible. I gave money and I lose it immediately. What could be a bigger mistake than that? So the Gemara is basically asking now that this is the opposite. Why? So let's go to 48.2, where the Gemara is going to explain the contradiction. So let's take a look at Rav. Taman hu amar kona. Over there in the case of Yovel says he's kona the field, even though it only took effect for a moment. The kahu amar loy kona. But over here, when it comes to the ox being a goring ox, we say he does not acquire it because most people would not buy a goring ox. Now, so basically the Gemara is basically saying, how come over here he considers it a tos, and over there he doesn't consider it a tos? It's a very loose kind of a plea. It's not precisely the same thing, and the thinking is a little different. But on a high level, how come in one place he's very koshed for tos, and in the other place, in the Yovel, he's not koshed for the tos? Let's put it this way. I think most people, if you would ask them, do you consider this purchase a mechatos? I think they would say yes. In the Yovel case, I'm saying. You know? So the one answers the steer. Taman, over there in the case of Yovel, Yovel Mefursim, who everybody knows about Yovel. You can't tell me you didn't know what Yovel was. Everybody knows Yovel, right? Even though some of us didn't seem to know that Yovel comes into effect immediately. I guess most people knew that too, Chopsy. Sorry. For the record, Chopsy thought, let's put this on the record permanently. Just kidding. Yeah. No, that was a Kiddush to me also. Baram Hakam Mecha Tosu. But over here, it really is a tos, right? Not everybody realizes, you know, I guess he didn't realize that the ox was a gora, right? It was a purchase made in error. So it's two different types of mistakes. Now, what about the second stira? Milkavashi tells it to Shmuel. Taman hu amar loy kona. In the case of Yovel, he said, you're not kona because it's considered a toast. Most people would consider that a toast, even though perhaps, I don't know.
You don't buy a feel if
you're set. I don't know why it's most people. It seems to me that would be all people, right? It's got to
be one person.
It's got to be one idiot. And over here he says, even though most people wouldn't, but me it would. So the more answers like this. Why did he sell him the field? Lolizria, wasn't it for planting? Person buys a field, he wants to cultivate it. Obviously, there's no chance of him cultivating it since he's not going to be able to be on the field for even 1 second. So that's for sure a toast. Bram Hacha over here, Yochalamay Malishkit Makatala. Here we have a reasonable explanation as to why you would have bought it and why I sold it, and therefore it is not a Mechatos. So Gemara has gotten out of the steer over here. So Gemara, now let's say the following. Now let's go back to our Mishnah. We have a Mishnah that says, can I sell a cow during the Yovel year? That is a plowing cow. So we said that Shmuel, that Beis Shammai said what? Beis Shammai said what? You cannot sell the cow because he's going to use it for plowing. It's lefneiver. And Beis Hillel said what?
You can.
You can because you could do it for shkita. There's other things you can do it for. So the Gemara is going to now try to say, guess what? Rav and Shmuel, maybe it's Tully and Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Right? That's the next thing. So the Gemara says, Rav k'bei Shammai, Shmuel k'bei Hillel. Rav, who says what? You don't look at the miyot that buy it for shechita, you look at the rov, which is for radya. So he's coming along k'bei Shammai, who says you're not allowed to sell the plow cow on the shechita year. And Shmuel comes along k'bei Hillel, that there are some people who sell it for shechita. So the Gemara says, Rav k'bei Shammai, Afilu Yizmer k'bei Hillel, even if you hold like b'Beis Hillel, Les Orcha Mishasa Klosin Yoimen, even somebody who buys an ox for slaughtering, isn't there sometimes, or isn't it the usual way, the way he translates it here, that he'll keep the ox alive for 30 days? Next page, Amud Beis, Mem Amud Beis. Of a Yosin Tlos, Soy tells to us to say, Yomaya, Lomecha Tosuf. Isn't those, in other words, if I'm a butcher owner and I'm buying an ox for slaughtering, but I'm not going to slaughter it tomorrow morning. I'm going to slaughter it within the next 30 days. So I need to keep this ox around for 30 days. Think I want to have some kind of wild animal in my backyard with the rest of the animals, right? And slaughtering and goring everybody? I mean, obviously not. So you could, even if you're buying it for shechita, it could also be a mekach tos. That's the point. So that's Rav. And what about saying Shmuel holds like Beis Hillel? Which means what? That there's the miut that use it for shechita, right? And therefore it's not a mekach tos. What about, does it not come out like Beis Shammai? B'afil use become Beis Shammai. Maybe he holds like Beis Shammai. Let's orcha de barnosha mikus Torah raja. Is it not the way of a person to slaughter a plowing ox? What does that mean? You know, I didn't read this line. I didn't prepare this line. Two. Beis Shammai states in the Mishnah that one may not sell a parah choreshes. Shmuel might well agree to this because no one, not even a minority of people, would slaughter such a cow. Thus, the buyer of such a cow will surely use it for a transgression to plow. It is therefore forbidden to sell to him. In the case of Shmuel's dispute with Rav, the cow is not known to have been trained to plow. Mm-hmm. So, in other words, what he's saying is, this Mishnah is a plowing cow. It's especially trained in plowing. So a plowing cow, you know, right? A plowing cow, you're not going to take the talent of that cow and shecht it and ruin all its training, right? You don't send the cow to plowing school for 6 weeks and then slaughter it after it graduates. It doesn't make sense.
Well, maybe it's an old plowing cow.
Be training
an old plowing cow.
Yeah, it's already trained.
It's already. Yeah. So, okay. You came up with a question. Good. Next. Okay. Marshall Lo Sa'aso, it says you can lend him his saw measure even though he has a threshing floor. That's what we said. It's a little kind of a funny thing. Sa'aso is what? It's like a special thing measuring utensil which was used in the threshing area to measure stuff to put away for storage. So it's normal uses for storage, and storage is also during the Shemitah year. And nonetheless, the Mishnah says you can lend it to him anyway because it's possible he wants to use it for something which is mutter. So the Gemara says, Rav Acha, Rav Tamkom, Bar Chiya, Shem Rav Yochanan, again, for a change, we're quoting Rav Yochanan. Here Shaloisa Asai, if let's suppose you lent him the saw measure, assuming that he would use it in a permitted manner, and then you subsequently found that he was measuring the things for storage. He was doing that which is Asar. He's using my keli, and he's doing that which is Asar during the Shemitah year. In a Zokaklo, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to try to get it out of his rishos. You lent your thing, he's using it for bet. You know, it's like I lent somebody a car, and then they go ahead, and I go outside my house, and I see the guy driving down the block in my car on Shabbos. You know, should I run in front of the car and go like this and stop him and say, get out of the car? It says, Eino Zokaklo. It's not my problem. He didn't have to use it on Shabbos. It's his problem, not my problem. That's what it seems to say.
Who did you give it to? A Jew?
I gave it to a Jew, yeah, who was not known to be a Mechal Shabbos. Yeah. And lo and behold, he went ahead and he went off the derech. And he's driving my car in Shabbos. Eino Zokaklo. Listen, anybody could go off a derech, unfortunately. So then it says,
unintended.
And Kol Shekain, listen to this. And Kol Shekain, also Derek is unintended.
He's
driving on the road. He's on the Derek, off the Derek. Kol Shekain and Maskirlo. Surely, if it's Shulman rent a car, and I rented him a car, then I don't have to lose my rental fee. That's for sure. In other words, it's one thing to worry about him being over in Avera, but for me to lose my rental fee, that for sure not Yishami. It's very.
You're saying that you're allowed to do it.
Yeah, for sure.
But you can't sell. But you can't sell jugs.
But I can't sell what?
The jugs.
You don't like those drugs, huh?
It's not consistent. What can I tell you?
It's me. You have an answer for him? He doesn't understand. What is this? I can let the guy rent my car and be Michal Shabbos, but I can't sell him the five drugs. More than five drugs.
Six.
I can't sell him six drugs for oil. It seems...
You're selling him more drugs than you know he's gonna be over on what he's not supposed to do.
There you go.
When you let the car, you could drive the car on Tuesday also.
It's the six we know for sure, but the car is a suffix. Okay, good. Okay. Thank you, Tzvi.
My pleasure.
Okay, halacha 4. Mashallah Sishal Khavata Hashun al Shvis. Now we're going to the woman's side, right? The previous mishnah was the men's side. We deal with oxen and heavy equipment. Now we're going to deal with the woman and the domesticated domestic kelim. So a woman can lend her friend who is Khashuda. Nafa ukvar v'rechayim v'tanur. She can give a sifter, a sieve, a handmill, or an oven. Let's see. The sifter, 7. Sifter is used for flour. The sieve is used for kernels of grain. So they're different. They're just different grades of the same.
The apertures are small.
The aperture is very good. That's a big word. I would have never thought of that word, but. Baruch Hashem, I know what that word means. I know what that word means. A handmill or an oven. She cannot sort or grind the grain with her. In other words, you can't assist in preparing the food because that's already the finalist and mikshal. Now, here in the footnote, he mentioned something somebody asked me yesterday about where the person could do it himself. And I mentioned that the difference was that lifnei is only if you can't do it yourself, but if you could do it yourself, then it's a durabonon of emesan de avir. So it turns out that what I told him was actually a machlokes rishonim. In the footnote, in the bracket, it says, according to some, this biblical prohibition applies only where the person's contribution is essential to the sinner's ability to transgress. Where, however, he would transgress regardless, one who aids and violates a rabbinic prohibition only. See the Tosis and Shabbos, which was I was quoting. According to others, and apparently this is the way some people explain the Rambam, the Maram Shik apparently explains the Rambam like this, the biblical prohibition applies even when the sinner could have transgressed it without this person's contribution. I find that very difficult to understand. Gemara says explicitly not like that. I don't know why. Gemara says, betray Avri Denaro, that's where you're Avril Lifneiver, and I'm not. You're not Avril. I don't know where this is coming from.
In other words, it wasn't the only way that he could accomplish it, but for it, you're enabling him to do it.
Yeah, but the Gemara says you're only over betray Avri Denaro. It has to be on two sides of the river. The Nazir, he can't get the wine on because he's not on the same side, but if he is on the same side, then I'm not Avril Lifneiver. It's a for sure Gemara. I don't know how you can argue with that Gemara. I don't understand where this came from. I never saw this before.
That's a
Babli, this is yourself? No, this is Rishonim over here. Yeah, okay. So he says, although lending the utensils, let's get to the pshat in the Mishnah. So the Mishnah is saying, lending the utensils show it might potentially facilitate a transgression, but it's possible she's using it permitted. Here, in the case of sorting and grinding, even if there is a possibility that the woman is processing permitted grain, meaning grain that she collected herself in the backyard, right? But you still cannot assist. Why? Because the leniency of the Mishnah's first case is only to indirect preliminary assistance, such as lending utensils. But it does not allow me to directly assist the violator during the commission of a sin. Meaning, it's very interesting difference. So I really don't know whether she's doing a sin. She might not be doing a sin. Maybe this wheat that she's sifting and grinding is 100% mutter, just like anybody else who collects hefker during the Shemitah year. But she is a chashuda, and therefore maybe she collected this be'isser from a field which is shomer, or maybe beyond the limits that she's supposed to collect, whatever. She was over something. And therefore, I cannot help her directly, in her work, because that's, I guess, that's too close to to the Isser. And it's a funny getter over here. You can do things, but only so far. Once you get to a certain point, you have to stay away. All right. Next, Eishes Chaver Mashalos LeEishes Amharetz. If you are the wife of Chaver, and you're going to lend the wife of an Amharetz. So, in other words, the difference between Chaver and Amharetz in this respect is when someone's Makbid on Tumma, and one is not Makbid on Tumma. So, Nafa V'Kvara, again, you could lend her these sifting equipment, Vares, and Chanas Markezimo, and you could sort and grind with her, because she's not Kashuda on Shriya, so you can help her. Avol Misha Tatal Samayim, once she puts the water into the flour, and now it is Makabel Toma, then Lo Siga Etzla, you're not allowed to assist her, She'ein Machzikin Yidei Ovi Avera, because now she's being Matame, the flour which has challah in it.
You're assuming she is
Tomei. Yeah, that's a fully understood thing. Okay, so it says over here in 13, there are two possible effects, it says here, adding the water. The dough becomes subject to the requirement of challah, which of course happens when you add the water. And if the grain had not been susceptible to tumah beforehand, it becomes susceptible at this time. And the Amoritz's wife kneads and shapes the dough. She causes it to become tumah, which is forbidden. Okay. Now, all these leniencies were mutter only because of Darchei Shalom. Now, it's not clear what do we mean by chulam, all of them. What does all of them mean? Lending the utensils? I think there's a question of what all of them means. The imperative to seek harmony and avoid strife overrides the various prohibitions that would normally disallow these acts. It's a fascinating idea.
Seems it's only for women, not for men.
Yeah.
It's only because these are the utensils that women use.
Some maintain this leniency applies only when the borrower is a personal friend, for only then will a refusal lead to strife. Okay, whatever. Let's go on. The machzikin yidei other chacham b'shvius, you can lend support to other chachamim. Of a lo yidei Yisrael, you can't help the yidden because, of course, it's the thing. Rav Shalom b'Shlomon. You can inquire into their welfare. That's where there's a machlokes. Them could be either the Jews or to the Avodah Zarah. Okay, but they darker shalom because of harmony. One last piece of Gemara. Rav Zeira bar Kumei Rav Mona. He asked Masisa Bestam. The Mishnah is talking a case where he doesn't specify what he's going to use the utensil for. Habam Mafarish, like we said before. Law, if you say you're going to use it for something which is also obviously you can't, or Malay, or Stoma Law Kepherishu, and is not specifying, utensils which only uses to process grain and flour, it's understood you're going to process grain and flour, even if she does not explicitly say that. We know that, yet it's mutter, so you see, even the purpose is known, it's still mutter. So he says, no, on the Oimer, no for this problem, maybe. The sifter is to count money. Kvar lich bar bar kol. You could sift sand. Rechayim lich basam money. Or the grinder is to grind or mill herbs. So there, even on these utensils, even though that's not necessarily rove of their tashmish, but there is a possible tashmish, and therefore it was mutter. Okay, Rabbi Sai.
Are we saying that if there's a possible tashmish, there's no more lufnei?
That's basically what we're saying. Let's talk about Mitzvah Shabbos real quick, for a second here, okay? Just one second.